Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We want to talk about, you know, what's holding us back? What's holding the nation back? What's holding the church back? And I'll just tell you up front, it's a religious spirit. It's a religious spirit. It's been around for quite some time. And I want to talk to you about a religious spirit. And just to give you a little hint, it's going to keep you out of heaven, so you want to pay attention.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I'm very religious. I see you're very religious, Paul said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in understanding a religious spirit, I'm going to tell you three things. One is, you know, to kind of give you like some dimensional understanding, you're going to go, oh, wow, go figure. Oh, maybe that's why 95% of American Christians do not win one person to the Lord in their entire lifetime, because we're held captive by a religious spirit. But boy, we can do church.
Mm.
Secondly, I'm going to talk to you about what Jesus said, the woes that he said about those with a religious spirit and the outcome of them. And thirdly, a prophetic word that just came from Bob Jones two days ago about how God's about to deal with this religious spirit in America, and we're about to get set free. So I want to encourage you, you want to let go of that thing? Because God, it's not going to be pretty. As a matter of fact, some of the things I'm going to be talking about, you know, Bob Jones is talking about this, and I'll be talking about it before we go to break and come back and talk in detail. He said, there's a lot of false doctrines and heresy being taught right now by those who are held captive by a religious spirit, he's talking about. And once the prophets start dealing with it, it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty. In fact, it will be rather messy, but it's going to take a remnant that's dedicated to the Lord to address these false doctrines and heresies. This is not for the faint at heart, but for those who have a heart after God's heart. These untruths are poisoning the body of Christ and killing it. That's Bob Jones. And we're going to be talking about in this program about a religious spirit. We're told when Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, he's writing to the church, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, powers, principalities, you know, evil spirits, and in the heavenly realm. And so even though it really looks like right now, this choir across the world, people who don't even speak the same language, they may be frenemies, they may hate each other, but they're still working towards a goal. But they have one friend in common. The ones that are coming against Israel, they have one friend in common, and his name is Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
You can say what you want to, but this is what the Word of God tells us. Whoever you obey, that's who you're a slave to.
Mm.
And an enemy of Israel is an enemy of God's.
Right.
If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. And understand, he said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. So when I say, and when you hear us talk about a religious spirit, that is a spirit that causes us, if we give into it and we just follow it, to act this way that I'm going to talk about. Which means, but Jesus came to set us free. And so that wrestling that we're going to be talking about, you can actually get free from that spirit, because Jesus, by the power of Jesus Christ, you can be set free from it. But the sad thing about it is that the toughest one to get free from is a religious spirit.
Mm.
I mean, that's what Jezebel's got. You know, the fact is that it's self-righteous. It knows everything about God. It knows all the God. It knows more scripture than you know. It's actually, it's doing church. It's doing church, and people are joining it. Now they're actually calling it, you know, atheists, mega churches. They're coming right out and saying it. You know, I'm not saying all mega churches that way. You know, the whole church is a mega church. It's big. But they're really got churches. If you missed it, you got to catch it on the VFN torch. I mean, that is a religious spirit. They want everything but God. They're being honest about it. But the truth is, somebody with a religious spirit, they want to preach, they want to teach, they want to sing, they want to be able to play church, they want to be able to do all these different things, but they don't want to hear from God. They don't want God coming in and changing their plans. That's it. They don't care if people change. They don't care that 95% of the people aren't leading anybody to God.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason they're concerned about folks coming, and we're going to talk about this, because I'm going to give you kind of perspective of it. Secondly, I'm going to share with you what Jesus said about it. He's got seven woes, I believe, about it. And thirdly, 2 days ago, what Bob Jones out of Morningstar Ministry and Bob Jones Ministry just gave a prophetic word about America, the church getting set free from this religious spirit. And he says, well, it's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's like freedom. Oh my goodness. And what comes with out of is fruit and just normalness, mm-hmm. which is great. So Jesus speaks against this religious spirit. When you see him talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these religious folks, right?
Mm-hmm.
You with me there? Then he's talking to these religious folks. When he's talking to people who are under a religious spirit, they are actually looking Jesus, God, Emmanuel, square in the face, thinking they're right. That's a religious spirit. And they're even calling God, who say they're serving, Lucifer.
Hmm.
This is how bad it is. So you'll sit here and talk to somebody who has a religious spirit, and you'll tell them exactly what God's saying, and they'll look at you, and they'll just criticize you. And they'll say, you missed chapter 12, verse, you know, mm-hmm. What are you talking about? It's like, are you really being critical, and God just rebuked you right now, and what's going on in your life, and that's what you're going to say? You're held captive, brother. You're held captive, sister. That's a religious spirit.
Mm.
You knew so much about God when God was looking at you. You thought you were God.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. Isn't that wild? Wow. We got to get free from this. Mm-hmm. Israel's surrounded. Ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. We are held captive right now. We are surrounded by a religious Jezebelic spirit right now.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was more religious than Jezebel and Ahab. I mean, she had her own prophets. She had everything going on. They ate at her table. So what is a religious spirit? Let's think about some things that happen. You can read the Word of God. When you read about the Pharisees and how their reaction, you can really see kind of the fruit of how it happens. But a religious spirit criticizes, it's very critical, very judgmental, criticizes anyone who's doing anything for God, though they themselves are doing nothing. They're not fruitful. But they're saying that they're going to one day, or they're actually okay with not doing anything at all. So a religious spirit is a very critical, judgmental spirit. And it's going to, anybody who's doing anything for God, it will come right on top of it. And if you listen to it, if you listen to that spirit, you could be the only one in that relationship that's doing something. And if you listen to it, the little bit that was being done for God's about to be snuffed out by that same religious spirit. Because if they ain't doing it, don't listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? With a religious spirit, it doesn't faze them that their word that they're speaking out over this person puts an unnatural burden on someone who was working for God. They add, you should do this too, and you know, you should have done that right, and this is not right, to what you are presently doing, to the point that it weighs you down and slows you down and crashes your ministry while you or they don't lift a finger to be able to help you. It's like, aren't you the person that goes around and joins what is, but you never began anything?
Mm.
And then you get there and you own that like that's yours, but didn't you just hop over there from the other place you hopped from?
Mm.
And now you claim that as your own? And now you speak with authority you don't have? Dear God, may nobody ever hear a word you say, and may every word fall to the ground until you deal with yourself or God deals with you. You are stopping. You're killing the church. They act as if they are doing you a favor by critiquing your ministry while not walking in ministry themselves or being fruitful themselves. They criticize with their spouses and their friends. They talk about those who are working and doing something for God, why they themselves do nothing for God. They don't even give to God. 97% of the American church, according to George Barna, don't even give. They rob from God, which is a sign of a religious spirit, when you can actually rob God of his tithes and offerings, which is 97% of regular church attenders, and the 3% that aren't even giving it all to God, while we march in the name of God in the streets of Washington, D.C., protesting against high taxation that the government's having against us and saying the government's robbing from us.
Mm-hmm.
Church, that's a religious spirit. That's a religious spirit. That's how you know we're held captive by that, because any blind man can see that, you know, that dog don't hunt.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say in Alabama, that dog don't hunt. That bird don't fly. or they're going to eat your lunch. You know, that's just ignorant.
Right.
But it's true. It's because you're blinded by that. You have no idea how stupid that looks and how you're walking off a long walk off a short plank. But if we get set free, mm-hmm. then we can say, hey, this is a short plank. Let's just only go this far and wait for God to empower us mm-hmm. to go further. They criticize you for mispronouncing words or misspelling a word or typos, but they are asked to help resolve the issue because obviously that's a gift of theirs, but they don't lift a finger to help you. That was a religious spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make you say, don't write another word. Don't post another word. Don't write another blog. Don't do another paper. Don't do an... And this is what happened with Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth sent a letter to a prominent university in the Northeast. I don't know if it was Yale or Harvard, but they get the letter and he's talking about the miracles and the power of God and what's going on. And they circle his vocabulary issues and send it back to him and say, did you see this?
Right.
And he writes back to him again. Anyway, did you hear what was going on? That's a religious spirit. Yeah. Those schools were birthed on God.
That's right.
And they ended up being taken over by a religious spirit. And you can keep talking about Jesus and have crosses hanging from your ears while your cleavage is hanging from your toes.
Mm.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's like, mm-hmm. that's a religious Absolutely. Spirit. When you think you can wear Jesus' sacrifice element, the tree that crucified him, on your ears as your earrings, while at the same time you're showing your whatever off to the whole world, that's a religious spirit.
That's right.
You can be set free from that, but you don't know that. You don't realize that those don't go together.
Mm-hmm.
That's a religious spirit. They sent Smith Wigglesworth's letter back with circled corrections on it.
Mm.
And when you have to understand, he was probably the most powerful man that God had used, a plumber that God just used powerfully. I don't have a lot of time to go into it, but you can find about him on The Torch.
Mm.
And it's a related article, I'm sure. But religious spirit is not concerned about souls, fruit, or the presence of God, or truth. They don't care. Somebody that's blinded by religious spirit, they don't care that Jesus is not there. I mean, they're not like hating on, it's just irrelevant. I can do this thing without God.
Right. Mm.
I got church down. You know, we can buy this thing.
Mm.
There's enough people out there bound by religious spirit with gifts that I can bring them in here and pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't even care as long as they're paid,
That's
which
right.
is another religious spirit. They are the spouses or family members of servants of God who just called, the servant of God who just called down the fire, marched in the glory into a community, into a whatever was going on, led many souls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and who were not fazed, but feel it's their duty to find areas to criticize that man or woman of God,
mm.
including being critical of the very ones who just gave their life to God.
Mm.
Why the only thing they did was watch. And it's like, that's a religious spirit. That's a religious spirit. Well, that's not me. 95% of American church, 95%. In your entire lifetime will not win one soul to the kingdom of God. We can be held captive. A nation can be held captive. But Jesus Christ came to set us free. John, we're continuing talking about a religious spirit and getting an understanding of it, because until we actually know what it is,
mm-hmm.
how in the world can we identify it and repent of it if we need to and get set free? And it is possible for a whole nation to be held captive by a religious spirit. Ask Israel, Ahab, and Jezebel.
Mm.
Well, so what are some of the more, what are some more signs of a religious spirit? We're trying to get, is that helping kind of talking about these
different
things?
Oh, yeah.
So what are some more signs of a religious spirit? Well, okay, somebody who has a religious spirit, no one can do church. No one can do church like someone who has a religious spirit.
Mm.
I mean, they can do it. They can do it. We've had folks that's come to us and they're like, hey, man, yeah, I want to be able to plant a church. It's like, oh, great, great. And then we find out, it's like, okay, you've led somebody to Jesus, and you want to start a church, but you didn't even know him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm, right.
It's like, oh, one of the prerequisites before you actually start a church in Jesus' name, even though is actually knowing him,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So no one can do church like a religious spirit, so you can't know somebody just because they know where the organ goes or what song to play.
Mm.
They have no problem with no souls being won, being saved in the last year or 10 years, unless it affects their pocketbook, you know. They don't care if anyone is hearing from God. They don't care if people are actually listening to them actually teach.
Mm.
And even doing what they taught. Less what they're teaching is a behavior modification that benefits them personally.
Mm.
You know? That's what was going on with the Pharisees.
Yeah.
You teach them this, and this is one of the woes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the only time that somebody with religious spirit is going to be really, you know, on you about something is when they're wanting a behavior out of you that makes their life better, easier, richer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they really don't care. They don't care if you listen to their teaching or just as long as they get a chance to teach and preach.
Mm.
Okay, got it. Okay, good, great. When do I teach?
Mm. Right.
It is amazing. It's like, what? What have we come to?
What mean is now this?
Are you serious?
Really?
Are you going to teach from the Bible? Have you read it? Do you know this Jesus?
Let me see that journal.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing what's going on. Yeah, you know, this is how I got debt free. I went on a speaking circuit, and I spoke at all these churches, and I took their money, and I paid my bills off. This is how you can do it, too. No, thank you. I don't want to rob from all the local churches just so I can pay off bills maybe that I shouldn't have had in the first place. Jiminy, religious spirit crickets. They can walk around like this with no big deal. Nobody changed. Nobody closer to God. People still in darkness. Nobody set free. Nobody broken for sin. There's even no recognition of sin. And they just go on to some local restaurant. It doesn't even bother. They just finish. It's done. And sit here and carry this big load. Like, man, shoo, my goodness. It's like you carry this big, huge responsibility. And then possibly begin to demand from a waiter or a waitress their food at a certain time in a certain way at a certain temperature. Like some arrogant, prideful. I mean, that's, you know, what waiters and waitresses say about Christians in America.
I can imagine.
They just say they're the worst tippers of all.
Mm.
And it's like, what happened? Is it because it's a religious spirit? We're sorry. We're trying to get rid of it right now. We're trying to get free from this.
Mm.
Understand, when we come into your restaurant, you're going to be glad we came.
That's right.
When we get free. We got to get free first.
Mm.
Your restaurant's going to be better off when we get better off ourselves to get free. And so they finish their demands at their restaurant, possibly. They go home, they flip on their local ball game, their program, and patting themselves on the back saying, man, a job well done. A job well done. Well, they don't even have a clue that God's anger is burning against them. They don't even have a clue that the anger of God is burning against them. They don't even know.
Mm.
They didn't even know till Josiah went and dug the Bible out and began to have it read that God was angry with Israel. Mm. Religious spirit, people are held captive by a religious spirit. They don't need the Bible. All they need is a monthly devotional that they liked.
Mm.
Pray? We're an American. We can't even hear a preaching longer than 15 minutes. That's a religious spirit. We should be so hungry for God that we actually we want to hear somebody who truly knows God talk until they can't talk no more, because we don't know if they're going to be here. They may be moving on to the next place.
That's right.
More signs of someone that's held captive by a religious spirit, and it could be all some of these or whatever. This is a sign of a religious spirit. Someone who is repulsed when someone says a curse word that represents a certain behavior, while at the same time, this person with a religious spirit acts just like the word they said was repulsive. I don't know. You can't say blank, but you can act like blank.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's like, what was worse? You acting like blank? Are saying blank. And I can't even say it right now because so many people are calling. You know, hold on. We're getting free. When we get free, you're going to probably hear that.
All right.
But so many people held captive by it that you probably start acting like blank if I said blank. So I'm not going to do that because then we're going to affect everything.
All right.
Just stir something up.
You're right. They're coming in now. Their messages are coming now. And so we want to get free from this. And the reason why they don't know that acting like blank is worse than saying blank is because they're blinded by this religious spirit. They really don't understand. Their kids are going, Mom, you got onto me because I said a bad word.
Mm.
But if you look at the definition of the word, that's exactly what you acted like all week long.
Mm.
That's exactly how you treated Dad all week long.
Mm.
Dad, that's exactly how you acted like all week long. That's how you treated your boss. You talked about your boss the way you... I just said the word, but you got the fruit in your life.
Mm.
I'm just saying.
Right. For example, you can't say crap with your mouth but you can treat people like crap.
Mm.
And Jesus says nothing about saying, matter of fact, he says, consider it all crap,
mm-hmm.
dung. But he says, how you treat people,
mm-hmm.
that's how you're going to determine where you end up in eternity. Right?
That's right. Yeah,
that's what he said.
But a religious, I'm telling somebody held captive by a religious spirit, that's how somebody can hate the president and hate people. You can't hate. We're not haters. We're not, you can't, but a religious spirit can act like they're self-righteous and attack someone. And it's like, oh, you're blinded by the fact that you're a fool.
Mm.
You're just blinded. And so we have to get set free from this. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk to you about what Jesus says about it. I'm going to talk to you too about a word, prophetic word just came out about this that Bob Jones had delivered 2 days ago.
Mm.
And it's exciting because it's about getting free, but it's going to be rough. Talking about more what it looks like is something like somebody who's held captive by a religious spirit. And this is big time in America, the American church. It's someone who preaches you can't have physical sexual relationships with somebody with your body, but goes home and watches videos, movies, media, theater of sex taking place in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you have to understand, children that were confused by your parents doing that, it was wrong. You were right. And it fueled and it kind of, it stirred something wrong in your heart. You're thinking like, oh, well, but it's not oh, well, because if you go for that, that's a religious captivity and you're going to mm-hmm. be captive. It's wrong. Jesus said, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it.
That's right.
But a religious spirit doesn't care what the inside of the cup looks like. It only cares about what it looks like on the outside. It's always talking about the outside. Don't tap into the inside here because mm-hmm. it's never concerned about it. A religious spirit, somebody's held captive by a religious spirit, you can act like hell, but you just can't say hell.
Mm.
Ain't it crazy?
Crazy.
It is crazy. You know, what are some of the attributes to help you identify in your own life and the life of those that you're responsible for? I mean, one of the things I was saying before we went to this last program, and you're joining us as we're talking about a religious spirit right here, catch the last program,
mm-hmm.
is... somebody who has a religious spirit, how would you identify it in your life or identify it in someone else's life is, you know, you can act like hell, but you can't say hell.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it. This is it. It's someone who preaches against hell, but when they're done preaching against hell, they treat their husband like hell. They treat their wife like hell. They treat their family like hell. They treat their boss like hell. They treat their coworkers like hell. They treat everybody like hell. That's somebody with a religious spirit. They just exercise their religion by teaching on something.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know what the hell they're doing.
That's right.
They don't see how crazy that is. It's just crazy. Yeah. You're held captive. But those around you know that you're confusing them because you just said you're for God, but now you're actually being used by Lucifer. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's someone who strategizes, somebody who has a religious spirit, is someone who strategizes in how to destroy a man or a woman of God, a ministry they feel that's in competition with them. And the truth is, it really is in competition with them because if they're preaching their own kingdom and the kingdom of God is being preached, there is a legitimate competitive spirit in their heart because they know the thing that has them captive knows if this truth, if this truly is Jesus walking in the street, we have to organize against him and speak negative against her because this is going to take over my little kingdom here. They feel that there's nothing evil with taking down this man or woman of God to destroy their ministry because they are blinded by their own sin and they can't even see Jesus' words clearly that says, whatever you've done to the least of these of mine, you've done it to me.
Mm.
You just told everybody that you're not the Lord's. Remember, the people with a religious spirit looked God, Jesus, in the face, truth himself, the word made flesh, and called him Satan. They were jealous of him. They wanted to kill him, and eventually, with God's allowance, did. That's a religious spirit.
Mm.
That was a religious spirit. Ask God, God, never give us over to the religious spirit.
Mm.
These are gifted folks. People with religious spirit, they're also gifted folks. Remember, gifts are given without repentance. They're gifted folks. Gift identified. Gift lifted. Let me say that again. These are gift focused, gift identified, and gift lifted. They just want a place and a time that they can use their gift.
Mm.
They want all to know that they have their gift, which they are deceived by this religious spirit that their gift is their fruit, by the way. So they really believe that that's their fruit. And they want to be lifted up and promoted by their gift. But yet they're blinded by this religious spirit from God's truth that clearly says, and I'm paraphrasing this to help us relate it to our now, is Jesus clearly says, many people will come to me on that last day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not effectively use our gifts?
Mm.
Didn't people get healed when I prayed for them? Didn't mysteries get solved when I shared with them the gift of wisdom? Didn't demons come out when I ordered them to come out? Didn't people cry when I sang my songs? Mm. And didn't men want to hire me all over the world because of how I played my instrument? And didn't I handle the finances in your church for all those years? And I will tell them plainly, as I'm sure he's pondering in his thought life, Jesus, think about it. He's thinking this. Didn't you read my word? Judas did all of that. Didn't you read my word? Judas did every bit of that. I sent him out. He ministered in my name, and he even kept the fire. I mean, that whole list, he did it all. But this is what he'll say. Away from me, you evildoer, you gift whores. Think about it. Lusting after gifts, lusting after glory men would give you because of these gifts. Never running after God, never running after me, never running after my glory, running after your own glory. You're a gift whore.
Mm.
And he says, I never knew you. Those were my gifts. That was my wisdom. That was my name. That was me doing that, and you took my glory. You're a gift whore. And prostituted it in your own name, for your own wealth, for your own glory, away from me. I don't even know you. It's also someone who feels love is an option. Somebody who has a religious spirit feels love is an option, not a requirement. And duty is love to God, not obedience. They take pride in the tasks they perform in the name of religion and obligation, and are offended if you confront them with love. They are blinded by the reality of God's truth by this religious spirit that God is love and obedience is love. I mean, think about it, that they are not only not going to tell someone about Jesus. Listen, they're not going to tell the Jesus that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. They'll talk about another Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They're not only going to prevent others from doing so. They're not only not going to tell anybody about Jesus. They're going to prevent other people from doing so by changing doctrine, establishing programs, while aborting any new birth that might have actually taken place accidentally in their presence without their permission and to their surprise.
Mm.
By ignoring them, overwhelming them, choking them with meat because they want to teach something that they didn't need to teach at the time they taught it, isolating them from the body, or beginning to assign these newborn babes in the Lord to adult responsibilities in your programs, on your boards, in your kingdom.
Mm.
Only to make them twice as much a son of hell, as Jesus said, as you are, to abort them. Remember, 95% of self-professed Christians in America, according to George Barna, will not lead one person to the Lord in our entire lifetime. What does that tell? It tells us two things. That the American church is bound by a religious spirit.
Mm.
And the second thing it says, if this doesn't disturb you and make you evaluate your life, cause you to want to pay attention to what I'm talking about, what's being said, you are bound by a religious spirit. If it doesn't faze you, if your heart is not equipped, if you're all of a sudden not convicted by this reality, it's a religious spirit. Realize this is a big thing, but God came to set us free. Realize if they are not doing it, don't take their advice. Realize if they are not practicing what they're preaching, they are preaching under the bondage of a religious spirit. Realize you'll be held accountable before God for your life. No witnesses, no suspects. You can't blame them or others for your lack of obedience, fruit, and faith. They are somebody held captive by Lucifer to do Lucifer's will. You have to answer to God. Realize anything they will have to offer you will be weight to you. It'll be a stumbling block to you. It'll be a fruit killer to you. It will be a harvest stopper to you. If you follow them, they will eventually make you twice as much a son as hell as they are. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 13 through 36, talking about a religious spirit here. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Those bound by religious spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
"Woe to you, teachers of the law and you Pharisees and hypocrites. You shut the door on the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you even let anybody else enter who's trying to enter."
Mm.
That's a religious spirit. "Woe to you, teachers of the law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites," those that are bound by religious spirit. "You travel over the land and the sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a son of hell as you are." I'm telling you what Jesus is telling you now. "Woe to you, blind guides." That's people that are leading that can't see. These are people bound by a religious spirit. "You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by your offering, the money you send today, so we can stay on the air. If anyone swears by this temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by money, by gold, the gold in the temple, they're bound by an oath. You blind fool." Mm. This is God. "You blind fool, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by this altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by the oath. You blind men." People bound by religious spirit.
Mm.
"Which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes it sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it." In other words, it's all together. It's one thing. You can't break it down to make it fit your own personal kingdom. And then he says, "And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it." In other words, it's always before God. "And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." People bound by religious spirit. "You give a tenth of your spice, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and fruitfulness," or faithfulness. "You should have practiced the latter without, mind you, neglecting the former." In other words, do everything God says. You blind guides. "You strain out a gnat while you swallow a camel."
Mm-hmm.
"Woe to you, teachers of the law." I'm talking about Jesus is saying right here. "Woe to you, teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites," those bound by a religious spirit. "You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence."
Mm.
Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside. Get your life right. Repent. Get your heart right. First clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside, which you've been focusing on, will actually get cleaned up the right way. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites," those bound by religious spirit. "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside." Boy, American churches, when we're spending millions of dollars, $1.3 million per baptized, imagine the production we put on, $1.3 million per baptized believer. Mm. I mean, that's like a Broadway musical theater, all this kind of thing. Get one person to go down and get one convert, that potentially, according to what Jesus said, we can make twice as much a son as hell if we're bound by a religious spirit.
Mm.
He says, "In the same way, on the outside, you appear to be people as righteousness, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, those bound by religious spirit. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves and the righteous. And you say, if we would have been the Jews in Israel, we would not have done that."
Mm.
This is what he says. This is what you say. This is what Jesus is saying you're saying, that they were saying. If we've lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of this blood and this prophet. So Jesus says, so you testify against yourself that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead then and complete what your ancestors have started. You snakes. That's what Jesus calls those who are sliming through his people with a religious spirit in the name of God. He says, you snakes. And we can get set free now. But until we're set free, we're held captive by Satan to do his will. You snakes, you brood of vipers. He's talking to the religious folks, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. He says, you have escaped being condemned. He says, you snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? I mean, what Jesus have we heard lately? This is not the Jesus that you're hearing.
Mm-mm.
Religious spirit does not talk about this.
No,
Jesus.
We don't.
Therefore, I am, this is Jesus, therefore I'm sending you prophets and sages and teachers. In other words, despite all them people held captive by a religious spirit, God is going to send somebody to you. He's going to tell you the truth. So don't worry about folks. You're not trapped by somebody else being trapped. You got to find out what God's saying from people who are following God. He says, therefore, I'm sending you prophets and sages and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others will be flogged in your synagogue and pursued from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly, I tell you, all this will come in this generation. I wanted to tell you the other before I told you that, because if I told you that, you would go, them. Because nobody uses the word them and they more than somebody who has a religious spirit. The word is never self-applicable because it's self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
It's always talking about if they would get better, my life would be better. Isn't that amazing how that works?
Yeah.
My goodness. A little quick one right here. This is another thing a religious spirit would say. How many of those can I do before I go to hell?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what somebody else would tell you who's bound by a religious spirit. 4. They would give you an answer.
Right.
They would give you an answer.
Right.
Right?
Wow. Yeah.
They would give you an answer. And then you talk to somebody else who has a religious spirit and said, that man don't know what he's talking about. 8. It's like, brood of vipers. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. So here's the word from Bob Jones. Bob Jones just gave this word 2 days ago talking about a religious spirit. Very appropriate timing. And it's entitled, and all this is going to be made available to you, but it's entitled Poison Gourds, Young Prophets to Address Religious Spirit. And so God's going to address this thing. But what's happening is poison gourds, and he's going to talk about that. In a vision, he goes on to say, I saw a group of dedicated people like the sons of the prophets, but one of them had put green gourds in the cooking pot. Immediately I knew, he says, this is him talking, immediately I knew this was the parable from 2 Kings 4 when Elisha and the sons of the prophets was going on. He says, Elijah came back from Gilgal during a famine in the land. The sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servants, Set up the big pot and cook some pottage for the sons of the prophets. Then one went into the field to gather a herds and gather some wild vines. And he gathered it up in his lap, and he also gathered some wild gourds. In return, and he cut them up into the pot of pottage, for they were unknown to him. In other words, he grabbed something that was not even familiar to him, called gourds, and he cut it up, and he threw it in there with everything else. So they poured it out for the men to eat, and as they ate the pottage, as again it was in the pot, they cried out, O man of God, there is death in this pot. And they could not eat it. But he said, bring meal, which is, you know, like cornmeal type thing, mm-hmm. which is a symbol of God's healing power. And he cast it into the pot and said, pour it out for the people, for they may now eat. Then there was no harm in the pot. 2 Kings 4, 38-31 in the Amplified. He goes on to say, these young prophets made this pot of stew and ate some of it, and then cried out to Elisha, death is in this pot. And let me tell you right now, I'm telling you, this is not Bob. Death is in this present day church expression. These were the next lines of the prophet that would carry forth the word to the people, but the enemy used this opportunity to try and kill all the young prophets at once. In other words, deceived one person who gathered up a bad, demonic, false religious teaching, brought it back and mixed it in the food that the saints were eating, and began to teach it. They all began to eat from what was coming out of that pulpit, podium, and then all of a sudden death was there. They cried out. Thank God they cried out. And all that word of God that was about to go forth, all these prophets are about to be loosed to be able to free God's people up, were about to be destroyed with one whack. I mean, think about it. That's what was going on. And then all of a sudden, God comes and just purifies what they were eating, which is the message. And he says, a lot of people, this is going on, saying, this is what Bob is saying, Bob Jones. A lot of people have been gathering that which they think is fruit, but in fact, it's a a gourd that represents a religious spirit. It looks just like a vegetable, but it has death in it. Instead of gathering the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 talks about it, 22 through 23, many of the vegetables with the wrong spirit got thrown into the cooking pot. These have brought forth mixed messages and confusion that lead to death. Therefore, the body has received stew that contains bitterness, strife, and jealousy instead of faith, hope, and love. Just as this young prophet cried out to Elijah in verse 40, I feel the body is crying out for the prophets of today for the truth. The true prophets have been going through a time of cleansing and purifying to rid themselves of any poison that might be left in them. One cannot bring a pure word while they are struggling with infectious spiritual disease that will contaminate the whole body when they are released. We need to have a more sure word of prophecy being poured out from purified vessels, he goes on to say. This is powerful, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This just came out 2 days ago. This is a prophetic word. The healing power. Elijah got meal, he goes on to say, which is a symbol of the healing power in verse 41. He threw it in the pot, stirred it, and said, now eat. The meal neutralized the poison. Isn't this so powerful about God's truth? It can just stop everything.
Right.
It neutralized the poison. The religious spirit has been operating in the church for a long time, Bob goes on to say. But I feel the real prophets are going to come against it in such a powerful way that it will neutralize this poison and bring healing of all kinds to the body. Isn't that exciting? Mm. Our job is to take the death out of the pot. To get rid of all these false teachings, the heresies, the hypocrisies. There's a lot of false doctrines and heresies being taught right now. And once the prophets start dealing with it, it's not going to be pretty. In fact, it will be rather messy, he goes on to say. But it's going to take a remnant that's dedicated to the Lord to address these false doctrines and heresies. This is not for the faint at heart, but for those who have a heart after God's heart. These untruths are poisoning the body of Christ and killing it. Think about it. We're seeing that's what I mean, it's like. God's hearing the prayer and answering. Elisha, who was chosen by God and mantled by Elijah with a double portion of his spirit, 2 Kings 2, 9 through 3, returned to Gilgal during a famine in the land. Gilgal means a place of faith, by the way. And I believe that it is where this generation of prophets must dwell, in a place of faith, by the way. There has been a famine of hearing the inspired word of God because many of the prophetic voices have been eating from the wrong cooking pots.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God Almighty, and I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, but for a thirst, and not one for thirst for water, but a famine for hearing the words of the Lord, Amos 8:11. Now is the time for the tried and the true prophetic voices to deliver the real meal that will bring healing power and deliverance to the body and salvation to the unsaved. It's like, oof.
Mm.
He goes on to say, he says, the Lord is calling forth a mature remnant to promote them with new authority. They will have the ability to come together in unity because they have settled their affections on him. Therefore, they can agree with one another in unity. And when they do, they will know koinonia, communion, together for the common purposes of the church. They will meet together in unity, and higher wisdom will be imparted to them. This remnant can be found in 1 Corinthians 2:6 through 10. However, we speak wisdom amongst those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the age for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age even knew, For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows, only thing that knows man is man's spirit, and the only thing that knows God is God's spirit that searches him. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of whom came from God, God's spirit, that will make known the things of God freely to us. And he goes on to say, and I'm closing, the church has gone through a rather severe testing for the last 6 to 7 years, but that time has come to an end. Praise God. Now is a time of closing out the old books and opening the new ones. It's an end of one time and the beginning of a new one. Those who've been promoted will become leaders of the church, and they will minister by what they hear from the Holy Spirit. These are people that abide with God. Mm. In this promotion, there will be an understanding of what God wants done and how he wants to do it. Get ready to bury the good and the bad past and come into the maturity where everyone hears from God in corporate meetings. That's what we're talking about, always in abiding. Mm-hmm. Then his plans and his purposes can be set in motion because the body has come into agreement with the Lord. It's come into agreement with him. Then at the end of this time, the greater works will be done. And one of the things that we will do first is glorify the Father in great signs and wonders. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I've been doing, and he will even do greater things than these, because I go to be with my Father, and I myself will grant whatever you ask for in my name, because I'm going to be with my Father. So how do we confront this religious spirit? What do we do in ourselves? Because, by the way, religious spirit will never ask that question. A religious spirit will never ask that question. This is how you'll do it. Get saved. Give your life to Jesus. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Become a disciple of Jesus, a follower, a doer of his word. Abide with him. Go to iabide.org. Read John chapter 15. Speak the truth in love, but boldly, and fear no man. Fear God. This will deal once and for all for this religious captivity, and the Lord that we follow at that point will set us free. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit
our sponsor and underwriters, and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.